Next would be the California School for the Blind, A Vision for the Future. We have with us Dr. Sharon Sachs, who is the superintendent of the School for the Blind. And let's give her a hand.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to the convention. I know I have a short amount of time, so I'm going to speak fast. But if you have questions, I'm going to stick around and you can ask me all the questions you like. I've been at the California School for the Blind off and on since 1980. I was a living skills specialist, and then I went back to school to get my doctorate, and then I came back as assistant superintendent and went to the university and came back, because I think CSB is really my home. And I've been their director, I was their director of curriculum assessment and staff development and did all the outreach. And then when Stuart Wittenstein retired, I was very reluctant to actually apply for the superintendent's position. And then I started looking at the job requirements, and I was actually reading the book Lean In. And I thought, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do this. And I decided to apply for the position. And I'm very excited about what's happening at CSB. In the last year, we have created and revised a new mission, vision, and core value statement. It was done by the staff, the students, our community advisory committee. And what our mission says is that we provide intense disability-specific services to students whose primary learning needs are their blindness and visual impairment, and that we are a statewide resource to local education agencies and families to provide outreach services through our assessment programs, our assistive technology programs, our low vision programs, our braille programs, and our professional development programs. And so that's how we view ourselves, not just for the 80 students or 85 students who are on campus, but to all 6,000 students who are blind or visually impaired, students who are deafblind, students who have visual impairments and additional disabilities. Today and last night, I spent time with all the teachers of the visually impaired and orientation mobility specialists and families in LA County. So, and actually teachers came from Riverside County and Moreno Valley and Orange County. And we provided a day of in-service on service delivery models, because teachers are struggling with their school administrators who say, don't mention CSB as a resource. It is in ed code. It is absolutely in ed code that says, in parents' rights, it has to stipulate that you must talk to families about the School for the Blind as a continuum of service delivery models. We really believe that we need to be relevant to the needs of students who are blind or visually impaired throughout the state. And in our strategic plan, we are looking at increasing enrollment. We are really looking at how we provide programs to students. And that includes really looking at performance data. So we now have four strands at CSB. We have an academic strand where students are at, we have an elementary program, we have an integrated or mainstream middle school program, we have a mainstream high school program at a local high school, and we now have a modified high school program at a local high school. The modified high school program are for those students who may have some learning disabilities in addition to their visual impairments, and just can't keep up with the regular high school curriculum in a fast-paced manner. And so their program is modified a bit, but it is a diploma track program, and it allows them to take core content at the local high school. We have an applied academics program. That program is mostly for students who are age 16 to 22, who may have a certificate of completion, may not be on a diploma track. Some of those students are, but they're doing it in a different way. They're taking the Hadley School for the Blind curriculum. They may be studying for their California high school equivalency exam. They might be doing independent study in collaboration with their local school district, and we're doing the coursework at CSB, and the students are getting the units in their local communities or where they've come from. We have a life skills program, and those are for students who are functional learners. Those students, the emphasis is on living skills and on work-related skills and functional academics. And then we have a pre-college college program where we have students who go to Ohlone Community College and they're actually taking college courses. Some of the students have not passed the college entrance exams, and so they are taking sort of pre-college coursework to get them up to speed to take the college coursework. All of our students have goals in reading, language arts, mathematics, assistive technology, independent living skills, and social skills. So every student in their IEP, along with orientation mobility, APE, and a whole host of other things with the expanded core curriculum, that encompasses their IEP. Students, we have a very strong emphasis on Braille literacy. As you know, we have an excellent Braille reading and language arts teacher who stimulates students and excites them about learning Braille, and Braille is infused into every aspect of our curriculum. We have students who are learning to use low vision devices, so we're really trying to get our teachers to move away from large print and teach students to use low vision devices. We have a lot of kids who come to CSB because they are moving from print to Braille. We have students who come to CSB because they've had traumatic brain injury, either because of tumors or gunshot wounds or accidents. We have kids who come because they live in very rural areas and services are not available to them. We have kids who come because there are no longer resource rooms for students with visual impairments in local education agencies, and had they been there, they would not be at CSB. We really believe that students should not be at our school for a long period of time. The average stay is about 3 years. We feel that kids should come for a short period of time, go back to their school district, and maybe come back for our transition program, which really emphasizes community-based instruction. And we have just hired many of our students as state employees, as youth aides because of the WEO Act. And so we are paying minimum wage to about 45 students on our campus. So they've all had to fill out state employee applications, be fingerprinted, get TB tests, get work permits, fill out all the paperwork that any employee would have to fill out, and they will have to fill out timesheets every month to get paid. So we're trying to figure out now how to get bank accounts for them, or how they'll get bank accounts. Another large part of what we do is outreach. And we do a lot of outreach, and we want to do a lot more outreach. It is obvious to me that assistive technology is something that we need to really emphasize in what we do. We have hired an AT teacher along with our 3 AT specialists who go out to the local school districts and work with kids. We have brought back our short course program so that students from LEAs can come to CSB for short periods of time and really learn disability or expanded core curriculum skills. We have our summer programs. We have our summer STEP program in collaboration with the Department of Rehabilitation. The other thing that I should let you know is that we are going to go through a WASC accreditation. CSB has been around for almost 160 years, but surprisingly, CSB has never gone through the accreditation process. Accreditation is a process to make us better. We are good at many things, but we can be better at a lot more things. And so we're going to start going through a process that allows, that will involve many of you in providing feedback about what we do well, what we need to improve on. You know, one of the things I face as superintendent, and I said this today to all the teachers, it's every time I say as superintendent, I kind of like twitch, because I don't really think of me as the superintendent. I really think of myself as Sharon, a teacher, a collaborator, an innovator, someone who loves being at our school and wants to move it forward and expand it and make it grow and make it be relevant. But one of the things I face is this concept of, you know, that we are a part of the continuum of education, and that, you know, we need to always convince administrators out in the public schools that we're a relevant piece of education for blind students. And that's sometimes hard in an environment where everybody thinks that inclusion of students is the way to go. And it doesn't always fit all students. And quite frankly, I don't think that the quality of a lot of programs in our state, in the country, are doing our students a real service. And I'm hoping that we can move that forward. My dream is to have legislation that says the California School for the Blind is a statewide resource for all students with visual impairments in the state of California. That should be part of Ed Code and legislation. And if you can help me do that, that's what I want to see happen. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm here. Can I take a couple questions?
Just one question.
Really, one question. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Mitch? Is that Mitch?
Dr. Sachs, or I should say Sharon.
Yep.
Known her for a long time.
Yeah.
Sharon, a few years ago we heard about a pending crisis, the retirement of, I think the figure was something like 300 TVIs, or maybe more around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who were my age and thereabouts. Is there any indication that more blind and visually impaired persons, but just folks generally, have decided to go into that field? Every time I talk to a young person, and they say, well, I'm not sure what I want to do. I know I want to go to college. I say, if you go into education and become a TVI, you'll have a job forever. Is that trend improving? Are there more folks actually going into that field to address this shortage of TVIs?
We still have a huge shortage, and that's very concerning. The way that we get good TVIs and O&M instructors are when you have some connection to the blindness community. So we have taken, we have three people who were teaching assistants, and they were good teaching assistants, and they are all in the San Francisco State program now. But they're all new teachers, and they have to be mentored, and we can't expect them to have the skills of a person who's been doing it for a long time. But For example, in LA County right now, they have an elementary resource room program. They can't fill that position. They have an itinerant teaching position. They can't fill that position. There are places in Northern California that are prime, you know, positions, and they can't fill the positions. CTC, the Commission on Teacher Credentialing, is once again looking at the credential structure for teachers, of all teachers throughout the state. And there was a special education task force that, again, is very generic. And they think that all a blind kids need, or what teachers need to teach, is just Braille. Now, Braille is wonderful to teach, but there's a whole lot more that blind students need, and Braille is a piece of it, and an important piece of it, but you can't have a strong teacher without having a quality program. And we need to have quality programs in this state. And it's a huge problem, because we need to attract people into education. Education doesn't pay a lot of money. And we need to think out of the box as to how to train teachers. And we're looking at, how do we make the TVI credential program shorter and more doable?
Thank you, Dr. Sykes. Thank you very much. And will you be around? Are you going to be around tomorrow?
I'm here.
No, we don't have time for another question. Wait, I'm sorry. We do not have time right now. We're behind.
I'll be here tonight and tomorrow, and I'm talking about UEB in the afternoon. Don't throw tomatoes at me.
Okay, because there's, like you can tell, there's a lot of questions.
Okay.
And it's unfortunately, we have a long evening ahead of us. Please.